Today we're going to learn Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph of Maseches Rosh Hashanah. We already are into Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. We are up to Amrle Rabbi Yirmiyah Le Rabbi Zeira. Amrle Rabbi Yirmiyah Le Rabbi Zeira. It's the last words on the line are Amrle, about 7 lines into the page. Amrle Rabbi Yirmiyah Le Rabbi Zeira. The Kimlu Le Rabbanan Bein Shlish Le Pachos Mishlish. Meaning we just got through saying that the reason we know that that grain that has grown one-third during the Shemitah year counts as Shemitah grain, even though it continued to grow after the Shemitah year, is because we refer to that which is picked on Chag HaSukkos as Shemitah grain, Chag HaSukkos of the 8th year as Shemitah grain. And we, the Rabbanan, have an understanding that that which is picked on Chag HaSukkos of the 8th year must have really grown one-third during the Shemitah year itself. So he said, the Rabbanan really know if grain grew one-third before Rosh Hashanah or not based on when it's being harvested? They have that level of expertise. So Amalei Lava Minilacha Lo Tapik Nafshach Lebar Mihilchsa. Didn't I tell you that you shouldn't take yourself out of the halachos that the Chacham say? I mean, you shouldn't try to dispute any of the halachos that the Chacham say. Kol midos chacham kenhu. When the Chacham say something and they say it with precision, it's meant to be understood with precision, that everything is precise. They were careful. For example, Barbaim Sahu Tovel. If you want to have a kosher mikveh, it's got to have 40 saw of water, not anything less than that. Barbaim Sa chasur kurtuv. If you have 40 saw, man, it's just a tiny little bit. Then you can't be tovel in it. Similarly, kabetza metame, an egg-sized volume of food could be metame to masochlin. Kabetza chasr shumshum, if it's an egg size minus the size of one tiny sesame seed, it's just shy of the size of an egg. Ain't a metame to masochlin, it's not metame to masochlin. Shlosha shlosha, metame midras. If you have a garment that's 3x3 tfachim, it's big enough to be metame midras. Midras is the kind of tumah that's transmitted when zava, nida, yoledis sits on something. Shlosha chasunima achas. If it's 3x3 tefachim minus one little thread, then ainu metame midras. It's not metame midras. So from all of these halachos, every time the chacham give a shir, they're being precise, and the shir is exact. Rabbi Yirmiyah seems to be the one throughout Shas that's always questioning it. Rabbi Yirmiyah is the one that questions. Oh, does it really mean exactly that amount? In Bab Basra, they threw him out of the Beis Medrash in the second part of Bab Basra for asking such questions. Hadar Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah Lav Milsi Adam. He says that which I asked, whether Chum were really such experts, was really incorrect. Of course they were such experts. Dubomne Chavraya Me Rav Kahana. They asked Rav Kahana once. The Chaverim asked Rav Kahana once. Omer Shekrivu Yisrael B'Knisasin La'aretz Mehechan Ekrivuhu. Where did they get the grain when the Jewish people first entered Eretz Yisrael to bring the Korban Omer? Im Tomer Da'ayil Biad Nachri. If you're going to say that they brought grain that grew in a non-Jew's field, Kitzir Chemam Rachman of Lo Kitzir Nachri, but it has to be part of your harvest, not the harvest of a non-Jew. So the Gemara is going to explain what exactly this kasha is. Mimayda Akrivu, meaning this kasha is assuming that they actually brought Korban Omer as soon as they got into Eretz Yisrael. How do you know that that's the case? How do you know that they brought a Korban Omer when they got to Eretz Yisrael? Maybe they didn't bring a Korban Omer at all, because maybe they didn't have to until Kibush V'chiluk, until they actually conquered the land, or maybe they didn't have grain to bring it from, so God, you know, gave them a pass on that one. So he says, no, lo sal kadaitach. You can't say that they didn't bring the Omer when they first went into Eretz Yisrael. Duchsiv, v'yochl me'avor ha'aretz, mimachras ha'pesach, that they ate from the grain the day after the first day of Pesach. They ate from the grain of Eretz Yisrael. Mimachras ha'pesach ochl me'ekar lo'ochl, which means that prior to that they wouldn't eat from the new grain that grew that year in Eretz Yisrael. That kriv omer v'hadar achli, because the halacha is that you're not allowed to eat from tevuah chadasha, from the new grain that grows that year, until you bring a korban omer. So if you're going to say that they only started to eat from the new grain that grew that year on the second day of Pesach, it must be that they brought a korban omer. Mehechan ekrivu. And therefore the question begs itself, where did they get the grain to bring the korban omer? Amr lahen. So Rav Kahana answers the chaverim, and he says, kol shalohevi shlish biyad nachri, any grain that did not grow to one-third of its growth under non-Jewish ownership, and you bought it from him, and it continued to grow under Jewish ownership, then you bring it as the korban omer, that's perfectly fine. So v'dilma ayil v'lo kimlu, Maybe it already grew one third of its growth and the Chachamim just didn't know about it. How can they rely on their expertise to know that that's one third of its growth and it's not less than it's more than a third of its growth? Elikim lehu. So what you have to say, the only explanation historically of what happened is that they must have had this expertise. So says Rabbi Yirmiyah, that's why I was off base. Hachanami kimlu. So over here as well, when it comes to the Chacham figuring out grain that's ready to be harvested on Sukkos, when it hit the one-third mark of its growth, and that it must have happened before Hashanah, the Rabbanan must have had that level of expertise. So main point number one, Rabbi Yirmiyah questions the expertise of the Rabbanan in knowing when grain reaches one-third of its growth, but ultimately he proves that they have the expertise from the bringing of the Karban Omer when we first came into Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara is not convinced, though, by this proof of Rabbi Yirmiyah. V'dilma lo ayil shlish. Maybe they brought for the grain for the Karban Omer from fruit that did not did not ripen at all. Aval hechad ayil riva. But when grain when it was bought from a guy already began to ripen when it's let's say at a quarter of its growth. So bein shlish l'pachs mishlish lo kimlehu. So whether it was a third or less than a third, the Chum were not such experts. So you don't see such a great raya. Meaning, what's Rabbi Yirmiyah's raya? How did they know that it didn't already grow more than a third by the guys? Maybe they played a conservative. Anything that looked like it was more than a quarter grown, they wouldn't take, because they wanted to be sure that it wasn't, but they didn't have this precise knowledge. So Gemara says, Lo sal kadai tuch, you can't think that. That the Jewish people came through the Yarden on the 10th day of Nisan. V'sal kadai tuch to lo ayil klal. If you say that at the time they came into Eretz Yisrael, the grain didn't grow at all, and the Zman HaKrovos HaOmer was Tes Zayin Nisan, so basically there were 5 days between when they got into Eretz Yisrael and the time they had to bring a Korban Omer. What, b'chamisha yom? Is it going to, in 5 days, is it going to grow to the point where it's right to be brought as a Korban Omer? Elamai da Ayil Riva Odanka. So what do you have to say? That when they came into Eretz Yisrael, it was already a fourth or a sixth grown. Still, Akati b'chamisha yomim mikamalia. It still wouldn't be enough. Elamai yislach lemei. So, meaning the Gemara says, let's backtrack. The Gemara wanted to say, even if it was a quarter grown, that they wouldn't have known. So that's why we're saying Rabbi Yirmiyah's raya is not such a good raya. Maybe they took grain that wasn't grown at all. That's what they took for the Korban Omer. Grain that wasn't grown at all in the hands of a guy. Gemara says, you can't say that because 5 days wouldn't be enough for it to grow fully. So Gemara says, yeah, but being a quarter grown wouldn't help either then, because 5 days isn't enough to get from a quarter grown to get to fully grown. So how do we explain what happened? Eretz Tzvi Ksivba. The Torah calls Eretz Yisrael an Eretz Tzvi. What's the characteristic, the nature of a Tzvi? Is it's very fast, it's very quick. So too, this land grows things very quickly. So Chinami, Eretz Tzvi Ksivba. So maybe Ein Chinami. It grew in 5 days from nothing to something. And therefore, Rabbi Yirmiyah's Raya is not such a great Raya. So bottom line is, even though Rabbi Yirmiyah had his heart in the right place to bring such a Raya and to show that he shouldn't be questioning the Shiurim of the Chum or the expertise of the Chum, turns out that it's not such a great raya. So now the Gemara goes back to explaining the pasuk v'chag ha'asif b'tzeis hashana, which we previously said asif means katsia, the time of harvesting, that whatever grain you harvest in the Sukkos of the 8th year must have grown one third before Rosh Hashanah. And that's how we knew that the Chi of Maisos is determined based on one third growth. Maskev l'Rabbi Chanina, omimat zesamer tahay asif katsiru. Do you know that this asif necessarily means harvesting? Vaksiv ba'asbecha megarnecha miyakvecha. It says when you do asif from Goren and Yekev. Vamar mar, and we had explained, psolus Goren v'Yekev akas medaber. It's talking about building a sukkah and making schach with that which is not the fruit of that which grows, the branches and things like that, things that are not mekabel tumah and that grow from the ground. So when it says v'chaga asif, b'tzeis hashana, maybe it's not talking about gathering in the fruits or the grain. It's talking about the name of the chag, that it's the chag of asbecha megarnecha miyakvecha, it's the chag of sukkos, it's the chag of psolos garen v'yakev. Maybe that's all chag asif means. It has nothing to do with gathering grain. It has to do with describing the hut that you sit in that requires a schach, that's psolos garen v'yakev. Am Rabbi Zeira, ham milsa, Havai biyadan. He says this raya from the pasuk that we follow one third was a raya that we thought we had in our hands. Vasra bichinina shod banarga. Then Rabbi Chanina came and he threw an axe into our whole way of thinking. Elami nalan. So how do I know that we actually go with one third growth? Kiditanya. Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef. Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef says it says in the pasuk that even though they didn't plant the field in the seventh year, you're still going to have plenty of food to eat for the seventh year and the eighth year, because that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu set it up, that we'll have special bracha. V'asas es ha-tevua l'shalosh hashanim. The tevua that grows in the sixth year will be enough to last us for 3 years. Al tikri l'shalosh ela l'shlish. So the way we know that grain that's one-third grown counts as grain of that year is, instead of reading it l'shalosh, read it l'shlish, as one-third. And what it's telling us, that tevua that grew to one-third is already considered tevua of that year. Says Gemara, v'ami ba'ilei l'gufei, but don't we need that pasuk to teach us what it's the pasuk shot? No, k'siv k'ra achrina, there's another pasuk. Uzratim es shana shminis v'achalta min ha-tevua yashan ad shana tshiyas. So from in the eighth year you plant in order to eat in the ninth year. Until the tevua grows, you can eat from the old grain that grew in the sixth year. So you see from there that we're already guaranteed 3 years of growth. Because if you're in the ninth year still relying on six-year produce, obviously you're getting 3 years of nourishment from it. So that frees up the pasuk of Asas Tzvul L'Shalosh Hashanim to teach me Shlish. So the next main point, the Gemara derives the idea of one-third grown produce being determinant of the year of that of the maestros for that produce, based on the pasuk of va'asas ha'tzvua l'shalosh hashanim. Okay, but we'll pick up there next time.